these weirdos are only here for feet pics, so it's fine.
Hello and welcome to Dice Like Ice, episode 39. I'm your host, Tony Acton, and with me, as always, the Muad'Dib to my Stilgar, Andrew Mitchell.
Muad'Dib! yeah, we watched Dune 2 the other day, and it was a real fucking good movie.
Holy
y'all.
Fuck, it's a good movie. Like, go see it in the theater if you can.
Like 95% accurate to the book. Good action, great cinematography, great soundtrack, good acting. Like Timothy Chalamet, you could tell, had a couple more lessons between the first one and the second one, because he wasn't bad in the first one, but he felt kind of awkward.
I didn't even care about the acting or the story, because the fucking visuals and the sound were that good.
Oh yeah, fantastic.
Like, holy
visuals.
Shit.
And, hey, for those of you that don't know, if you like 40K, you'll like Dune, because yeah. They aped about 80% of their whole shtick from Dune. So, you know, thank Frank Herbert for your favorite miniatures game.
Yeah, dude, it's so good sounding in a theater, and it did such a good job on the, like, retro 60s look without looking shitty.
Yeah, like, tweaked the aesthetics of the 60s vibe to something that feels like something someone would have actually developed and worn and used in their everyday life is just amazing art direction all around.
But we could sit there and talk about that movie for fucking ever if we really wanted to, could we, Andrew?
We sure could. And you know what would make that even better, Tony?
To stay hydrated.
The sponsor of this episode, having some grips and rips. Oh, that can did not want to go. Oh, we're foaming. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Andrew.
Spice must flow. I saved it.
All right. What you drinking?
Well, since this is likely our last recording while I'm still in Athens, I went with an old favorite, just a good old classic city lager from Creature Comforts.
I almost got one of those.
Another a last taste of home before I'm off to the great Pacific Northwest.
There you go.
And as always, it's just a good, crisp drinking beer at a 4.2%, borderline water, especially when I have been just moving an absolute fuckload of boxes and everything I own today. I'm so exhausted. So, how about you, Tony? Is your beer a real beer, or is it also just
water? My beer's a real beer. I'm going to be honest. After that first sip, I'm not sure I like it, though.
Oh,
It's Sierra Nevada. Usually really good stuff, you know, right? It is
for a mass brewer.
Yeah, it's their Atomic Torpedo Imperial IPA. It is a 9.2% tall boy at 5 in the afternoon.
5:51. It's close to 6.
That's true.
Nearly dinner
true.
Time, you know.
Boy, that is bitter piss.
What, you mean an IPA?
Oh, it's the IPA-est of IPAs.
Oh, good.
I'm going to be honest. That might be the first beer that I don't finish on the show.
Because you even forced yourself.
That was like being kicked in the teeth.
Because you forced yourself to finish that Christmas beer.
No, I did not finish the skunk beer.
Okay.
But I did finish the Christmas beer.
My skunk beer doesn't count. That's not beer at that point.
Yeah, skunk beer doesn't count. That's a mulligan.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That is.
Kind of like drinking paint thinner a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
Well, fun.
Hmm. Boy, yeah, we're gonna nurse that over a while. I might still be drinking that in Hobby Hangout tonight.
Yeah. Also, early apologies to everybody on the podcast. My room is a little bit barren right now, so if you're hearing an echo, that's what's happening.
Oh, man. So, Andrew, since your room is barren, what kind of hobby progress you got other than sticking everything you own in boxes?
My God, it's been a week. But I did get a little bit done ahead of time. We've had a couple of weeks between now and our last recording. So before everything got shoved into various totes and cardboard boxes, I was able to slap a little bit more paint on some stuff. So starting off, I did paint the Fane of Slaanesh, which is the Hedonite specific terrain piece where it's like the really big mirror that's got the frame that's in the symbol of Slaanesh with the
fucking model.
Yeah, the fucking greater demon head coming out of the portal in the mirror, and there's like the pile of gold around the base and stuff. It's a really cool model. I like it a lot. Shockingly easy to paint. That really didn't take very much time at all. Like the only thing that actually took like any detail work was the actual like head of the demon coming out of it, because you know I had to get the same kind of skin tone as I did on my actual model for the Keeper of Secrets. Mm-hmm. But like the gold was like, you know, base coat gold, Reichland Fleshshade wash, or no, not even. I did Druki Violet because all my gold's purple washed. Dry brush gold back on top of that. Boom, all the gold is done. Pick out the odd vase here and there in silver just for visual diversity. Paint the pillars that are scattered throughout the gold, like the broken ruins, just in the kind of off-white that I do with that scheme. And then just pick out various gold bits in the bluey kind of metal that I have for my Hedonite scheme. I did that in like two sittings. It took almost no time at all. So that was super cool.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. It just went crazy fast for whatever reason. After that, one that did not go crazy fast. I finished, top to bottom, basing and everything, 5 Slick Blade Seekers, which are the mounted Hedonites units that are just mostly naked dudes on the backs of those weird Seekers, which are like the creepy noodle horse demons that Slaanesh likes to use.
Are those the ones you got from Trey?
No, well, that's the old school Seekers. Those are the ones with, yeah, those are the ones that have like the actual demonettes on the back of them. Those have been out for like 20 years. These are the brand new ones, which are significantly more dynamic and Jesus Christ, significantly more detailed. As with all things Hedonite, just multiple types of skin tone, texture, scales, fins, horns, teeth, you know, tongues and other wet drippy bits, fucking gold chains, normal iron chains, jewelry, cloth, leather, just smorgasbord of various textures when it comes to Hedonite models. And I had to do multiple types of skin tones because you got the riders on them and the Seekers themselves. So I gave them a softer underbelly and kind of like a pinkish hide like I've been doing with most of the demons. So it took a while. That was like a 3-week process just to finish 5 of them, and that's slow for me. I'm a pretty speedy painter when it comes to a lot of stuff, but the Hedonites are definitely a speed bump for me at this point. It's nice though, because I do actually really enjoy painting them. It just takes a lot of time to do it. And then I got one last model after that. I finished 1 Shard Speaker of Slaanesh, which is like the basic wizard troop of the or wizard HQ of the army. Who's essentially just there to cast a couple of spells to generate depravity points, and that's pretty much it. It's the one that's like got kind of the bull helmet and that's holding up a little mirror in his hand. Just got him cranked out pretty quickly because he was mostly cloth for his materials. He had a little bit less in the way of the leathers and the various textures and so forth, so that made that one go a lot more quickly. And he was the last proper full-blown finished model I got before I got everything else packed away. But then I did have one last thing I did, and I started on the skeletons that came with the Underworld Shadespire set that we got at Nova, because I was just like, what's something I could do with contrasts real quick? And I just started slapping Skeleton Horde contrast on them, and I got them maybe like 3/4 of the way done before I packed them up, so they'll probably be the first thing I finish once everything makes its way to me whenever I make it to Seattle. So
those are just fantastic fucking models.
Just fun little skeletons, just a good time. I like them a lot. They're not like super overdone or anything like some more recent undead stuff is. It's just a good, like, this is a fantasy skeleton usable for, like we always say, D&D, Warhammer, etc. and so forth. So very fun guys. But that's been me. Everything else has just been packed away. So how about you, Tony? How's your hobby progress been since you don't have to worry about moving across the fucking country?
I don't, but life has definitely been life. The main bit of hobby progress I got done was on the Warhound. It is not done, but the waist assembly down is done except for armor plates and a couple of panels. That was about 5 nights of work just on those fucking legs. It was 2 nights for the goddamn feet.
Damn.
So many parts on that thing, dude. So many fucking parts.
Well, it's got like 300 pistons just for the legs, right?
So many pistons, yeah. I glued the toe pistons. I haven't done the easy ones that are up the leg yet. Listeners, if you buy a Warhound Titan and you're cutting the things off the resin gates for them, the pieces that go on the toes, that peg that looks like it's part of the gate is not. That is an integral part of the fucking model. Ask me how I know.
Ask him how he knows.
I cut those. Oh my god, dude. I cut every one of them off. So I had to sand, position, and pin every fucking toe.
Oh.
It was a nightmare, dude. I was livid. But yeah, so don't do that. The video of me washing the Titan is on our Patreon now. That's right, boys and girls. We have actual, honest to God Patreon content.
Patreon
And
content.
by the time this episode drops, I will also have the video of me assembling the feet up. The leg video, I think, unfortunately, was lost to the warp because it just did not save for some reason. So there will be a small portion of me building a Titan that will not be recorded, but every other bit of it, except for when I'm drilling, which I will have to drill a pin through the waist, will be recorded.
It's okay because we all know that these weirdos are only here for feet pics, so it's fine.
That's true. Yeah, that's entirely true. So the important bit is recorded. Other than that, I don't really have a whole lot of hobby progress. Yeah, I got the Bretonian box in a bit ago, started working on that, got the 36 minute arms and that built up. So those are all built and primed. Got the three Pegasus Knights built. Those are not primed yet. I built two of the Bretonian Knights of the Realm because I want to test some schemes on those guys. But the fun thing that I built was the Thunderbolt Fighter that I got. Part of it is held together with glue because my knife slipped when I was trimming a piece of the resin and went directly into my thumb.
Ooh.
So the wing is just covered in blood and glue where it's held together. So that's pretty fucking metal.
Really putting yourself into your art.
Yeah, right? Jesus Christ. Me and Resin have had a fight the past couple of weeks.
Oh, resin's just a
And
bitch to
then
work with, no matter what.
resin is a bitch to work with. I'm going to count this as hobby progress. Trent and I built five more fucking tabletoppers to bring us up to or four more tabletoppers to bring us to 11 for our tournaments now.
Yeah, no, that's definitely hobby progress.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Trent and I always have fun building those. We have it down to a science. So we have enough until we do the GT in Q4, and then we will need to build 11 more. That will be a one day thing, but we will need probably two more people to help us just moving stuff around while we do it. You know, him and I peg them and like hit them together and everything, nail them all up, and have the other people just kind of sand them back down.
The Miller Lite will be a flowing, as will the friendship.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I got a box of the Kazurkin because they had some at Dragonstar.
Hell yeah.
After fucking a year and a half of them being out of stock, I saw a box in the wild and just was like, dibs.
that's just the kill team specific box, right? They haven't done like a solo launch where it's four Imperial Guard. Just like its own thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Okay.
It's the same box. But yeah, that's it. That's all the hobby progress I got.
I mean, given
Oh,
how
I guess I painted the trophies for the
oh
tournament.
God, that Cadian.
There were Catachins on this one.
The Catachan for the best painted was so fucking goofy.
Oh, dude, it was so fun to paint. It
Oh,
was so goddamn fun to paint.
wonderful. Yeah, we'll have
That
to.
is my favorite part of these RTs, is painting that.
Yeah, they're always good. We'll have to coordinate with for the next one. I'll see about getting one shipped over.
Right, I know. What old 40K model should I use for this one? Because we've used old Gene Stealers, we've used
While I was digging
old
around, I did find the really old metal flesh hounds of Khorne. I don't know why I have them, but I had like three of them just in a baggie, so that could be a good one.
You need four. It's four for the set of trophies, though, is the issue.
Ah, damn. Didn't think about that.
Because it's first, second, third, and best
Yeah, that
painted.
makes sense. All right. Well, we'll shop around. I mean, old world's out. There's shitty old models that we can buy brand new now.
No, but it's a 40K RT.
Fuck.
Ooh, maybe I should try and get some of the old third edition Dark Eldar models.
Ooh, that would be a good one. Those are some goofy goddamn
That'd be a
models.
good one. Oh, yeah.
Decisions, decisions.
Right? Or some old Chaos Marines.
That would
I
be.
wonder if I could find an old shitty Chaos Havoc squad.
I'd say that'd probably be pretty easy to get your hands on at this point.
Yeah. That'd
Just
be a good
have
one.
to stalk eBay. I'm sure we'll be able to find some goofy old shit on the cheap.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I got till May 18th. So, listeners, if you're listening to this one, May 18th, it's already up on Best Coast Pairings. It will be our Q2 RT. It is 24 slots here in good old Bogart, Georgia,
Bogart.
which is right outside of Athens.
I don't know why. Every time I drove by the sign that says Bogart, my brain I just immediately go Bogart.
That's fair. That's fair.
Just every time.
Yeah, I didn't paint anything. I just bought one thing and then built a handful of stuff. That was it.
Building a warhound is, it's pound for pound.
Daunting?
Pound for pound, probably the equivalent of like building two or three army box sets in terms of just general effort. So like you're okay. We're not besmirching your hobby progress on this one.
Yeah, but between fighting with the Warhound and fucking Helldivers 2.
That's the only reason I don't have like another 30 hours into it is because I can't if I expect to get my shit shipped to Seattle.
I know, right? Let's see. How much do I have in that game? I bought that game last week. I bought it like
I have eight.
Wednesday. Oh God, I have 38 hours in it in fucking 9 days.
Hey, I mean, we've seen me with Baldur's Gate 3, so let's
That's
we're
fair.
no pot calling kettle black here on this one. Totally
Yeah.
understand.
Fair enough, man. But that's okay, because that just means we got lots of games played, right, Andrew?
Yeah, so many. I only got two. But hey, it was something. So, over to me. First game played was a game of Blood Bowl versus Danielle, her Black Orcs versus my Vampires. Just kind of a teaching game again, so we only played a half because it's a lot of me, explaining rules, explaining overlapping tackle zones, etc. and so forth. Just
Yeah.
taking a game's worth of time to do a half of a game. Started off very strong for the orcs, though. I took my vampires for the first time ever, so it was also a learning game for me in that regard, just trying to like figure out exactly how many thralls to keep near my vampires in case they get bloodthirsty and need a snack, and figuring out exactly how just meh my thralls are. Like they are strength 3, agility 3, passing skill like 4, so they're not bad, but they have no skills, and they're movement 6 and armor value 8. So like they're just down the middle of the road.
That's better than a Skaven clan,
The
right?
completely mostest average dude you've ever seen. So they're pretty easy to put down with something like, say, a black orc. So she was doing a pretty good job of keeping them on their asses. I actually didn't have that many in the way of casualties with them, but I did have one vampire that got thirsty, bit one of my guys, and managed to kill him while drinking his blood. So that was pretty fun. The actual vampires are fucking brutal. Like, they're ridiculous. The runners, their armor value 8, which is a lot less than I was expecting for a runner, but their movement 8 as well. And they have tons of ball handling skills.
So fast.
The vampire passer has a 2-up passing skill and shit, what is the passing skill? I forgot what it's called. I think it might just be called pass.
Pass?
The one where you reroll. I don't play passing
Yeah,
armies. I don't
pass.
play passing teams, so I don't actually know any of the
You
passing
do
skills by heart.
now.
Yeah. But she got the ball first and gave it to her goblin, as she should. Did a pretty good job of knocking my fellows around. Was able to run two goblins past my line and knock down all the vampires and thralls in the area. So I had to do a across the board blitz to try and get that goblin with the ball with my vampire runner, and she just barely was able to do it and knock the shit out of him, knock the ball out of the pitch. It bounced through the end zone, off the pitch one more time, bounced back, landed beside her other goblin, who then promptly picked it up and scored a touchdown. So turn 4 touchdown for the orcs. So that was pretty fun. Then it was my turn, and I got the ball to my passer. He whipped off a pass to the runner, and I got a 2-turn touchdown with them because they're so fucking fast. I know I now have the gutter runner experience, Tony. It's incredible.
Yeah, dude, no, it's a high that you will never be able to reach again unless you're doing it.
Oh, I might be a convert to passing teams after this.
Dude, yeah, speed 8 is a hell of a drug.
And then we just proceeded to beat the shit out of each other for the rest of the half. And of course, it ended in a 1-1 tie.
As is tradition.
So yeah, that is a learning game of Blood Bowl, baby, and of course it was as fun as it always is. I do love me some good Blood Bowl. After that, I played a game of Age of Sigmar versus our boy David, Classic City Wargaming. What else? What's the one he's always on? The fucking streaming one. So occasionally on War Games Live as well, fun local guy that we like to play. He took his Maggotkin, which is the first time I've ever actually played against them.
Most people will know him as Haunted Bagel. That's his online persona for War Games Live.
Correct. Took Maggotkin, so it was the first time I'm playing against them. He went with I don't remember the name of the actual unit with the mortals on it, but it's the plague drones, like the flyer guys. but specifically with the mortals,
got me, dude.
And the mortals and not the demon version. He also took, I don't know any of the names of Magikin stuff.
Yeah, you're real good at this, bud.
Well, I'm sorry, they all have names like Blobe the Shitty and stuff like that, so I don't know. He took a wizard on a big fucking nasty spiky fat thing, but not the Glotkin, the other one that's a little bit smaller.
Hold on, I'm working on it. Give me a second.
Yeah, let's go to the fucking website.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry. They all got dumb names. They got Age of Sigmar fucking Nurgle names.
Okay. The Lord of Afflictions is the wizard on the fly.
No, not that one. It wasn't a wizard on a fly.
What was the wizard on?
Hang on. It was,
Was it
Blobe Rotspond, I think? It was either that or Ogrot's Daemon Spew or Morbidex Twiceborn. I don't know which one, but it's one of those guys.
Is it Festus the Leech Lord, perhaps?
Nope, he's not mounted. That one I actually know because he's old Warhammer Fantasy dude.
Yeah, it was probably Bloab Rotspawn, because that's a fun name.
I think it was that guy. So, him, he also had a Poxbringer, the demon version.
And the flies, for the record, are called Puscoil Blightlords.
Yeah, those guys. And then he took a smattering of Plague Bearers, took a lot of, did he take Beasts of Nurgle? Yeah, he took Beasts of Nurgle because he was intending to summon them in, but we got to fighting so goddamn fast, he kind of forgot about his summoning points and stuff, so he kind of totally forgot to bring them in, but it was fine.
He had a Feculent Narmal of Worcestershire.
Yeah, he forgot his Feculent Narmal model, and we ended up using malt vinegar as it instead, which, you know,
malt vinegar, not Worcestershire. That's
kind of
right.
Kind of close to appropriate on that at least. So that was fun. I, as always in recent Age of Sigmar games, took Trug into boys. So Trug, a Dankold Trogoth, two Trog bosses, two units of Rock Guts, and a unit of Fellwater Trolls, and it was a two-round game, and I won, so that'll give you some...
You fuckers just played Old World.
Yeah,
that'll... It was just two battle lines that slammed into one another.
Well, so that was the problem, was that he took fast Nurgle guys who want to do melee, I took Trolls who want to do melee... So by the beginning of round two, we just got into melee, and then melee ensued. I mean, what are you going to do? So he actually double turned me as well, but my dice were fucking hot. Like, I was rolling so many passes, and granted, it doesn't have to be a crazy good roll, because when they're in the light of the bad moon, trolls have a 3-up armor save. I got really lucky with Trug's malfunctioning Laystone and gave everybody a 5-up ward save, so I was able to shrug off a lot of the shit. Yeah, well, so whenever I begin the roll with max wounds, you roll 4 dice and pick the one that you want. I got 3 fives.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I got 3 fives into 6, so I'm like, I'm going to go with the one that gives me the 5-up ward save, which is a 6. So, yeah, we did that. And being double turned, it means I got an additional turn of having that 5-up board save that I didn't have to worry about. So, you know, that was interesting. Took the general trait where everybody got a +1 to their regen rolls as well. And that happens in the command phase. Or not my command phase, just the command phase. So, like, he charges in with his Puscoils, does a pretty good bit of damage to him. Charges in with his Plague Bearers, just, you know, gives me a really solid round of attacks, is almost able to kill a couple of trolls in, like, every squad, and it's like, alright, cool, so you did 3 damage to that squad, bang, healed exactly 3 back, alright, you did 5 to that Dankold Trogoth, bang, immediately regenerated all that. It was just one of those kind of games where it's just like, okay, well, I lost absolutely nothing. He then charged in Bloab Rotspond, or whatever the fuck it was, and actually managed to kill 2 of my Rock Guts, managed to actually keep them down, couldn't bring them back, and then promptly got smashed in the face, and Trug was able to just wipe a squad of the Puscoil guys on his own. It was just one of those games where he charged forward and just essentially bounced off the trolls and died horribly doing it. So he conceded pretty early on because it was just one of those games. It was early enough that I said we had enough time to play again if he wanted to, and he said, nah, I don't think we're going to be able to do much different unless I change up the army. So, yeah, melee into trolls is just kind of tough. But if it took shooting and took a shitload of magic, that kills the hell out of trolls. So, you know, it was just a bad matchup, unfortunately, but a good game, and David is a very fun opponent. So hopefully I will be able to play him again at some point in the future. Hopefully he goes to Nova and we can do something there.
Yeah, David, you hear that? Go to Nova.
Yeah, David, go to Nova. It's the only time you get to hang out with your
go to Nova.
Only time you get to hang out with your buddy Andrew again. But yeah, that was
also looking at you, Phil, and your kids that weekend.
Yeah, Phil, who needs children?
Just
leave
bring them.
Leave
just them. Just bring them with you.
Just take them to the kennel like you do with every pet, and then go to Nova. Just
board your children.
Board your children.
Jesus Christ.
Go to the kid hotel, obviously. anyway.
Ooh, that should be a really out of context pull quote.
maybe not. Maybe not. This isn't as hard as "Hey, I was the best Hitler," but let's not do that one.
Fair.
Don't do the best Hitler one out of context again. God damn it.
Damn it.
Anyway, that's all my games played. So how about you, Tony? I think you got a few more than I did.
Yeah. So I've got 7 games played in 3 weeks. So I'm just going to kind of whip through them real fast. The first one was literally the day after we recorded last time. I played our boy Matt's Sisters of Battle. And I really thought I had that game. I really did. I took my RT practice list. He took a list he was toying with for our RT as well. His was like really infantry heavy with 2 of the artillery tanks that they've got. A bunch of Arco flagellants and just like a mass of sisters. And then the a squad of Nundums led by the Queen Nundum that I can't remember her name. Morgan Vall or something like that.
That sounds right.
But the real turn of the game was Matt just would not fail a goddamn Feel No Pain. I rolled the Dorn up point blank at 3 Arco flagellants who are like T4, 2 wounds apiece, and have like a 4 or 5 up Feel No Pain on them. And I dumped the entire Dorn into him point blank, and I killed 1 of them.
Jesus.
And it wasn't like I rolled bad. He rolled 11 of 12 dice were 5s or 6s.
Jesus.
On his Feel No Pain from the big gun. I was like, I don't know how to fucking combat this.
Have him not roll crazy well.
Yeah, but then it kind of swung a little bit. Morgan Vall ended up coming up behind the Duke, my Exterminator autocannon tank, and all the Nundums, they fired full power to the back of it. It had 1 wound left, turned around and killed all of them but her.
Nice.
Then it was killed by grenades. But, you know, it was a good way to go. But I'm trying to get the app to load because it was a really close game. Let's see. So that game, that one was. Sorry. I was looking at the wrong one. Yeah, it was a 93-90 loss.
Wow.
So, like, it was a really close, good game. We had a blast with it. Then my next game was against our buddy Ben. He was running his Dark Angels. And I was running I wasn't running my full tank list. I was running kind of a lighter version of it. But it was still plenty heavy to just crump his army. Ben failed a couple of charges, as Ben does. I rolled a bunch of 6s for the amount of shots on my guns, as I do. And that one was just quick and dirty.
Tanks are just hard to deal with unless you're specifically building for it. And that's just not fun then.
They really can be. Ran another practice game against Matt the Wednesday before the tournament. He ran his knights this time, and I ran my tank list. And that was another really, really good game. I think I got first turn in this one, and that was really what mattered. I also pulled way better secondaries than him. But Canis Rex killed some tanks. I brought down some guys. He had kind of a rough deployment. It was table quarters, so we were both kind of like wedged in there.
Oh, yeah.
But I was able to get out a little bit easier than he was because my tanks weren't as big of a footprint as his bases and was just able to kind of pick stuff off. That was the first list I used a Hellhound, and that might have been my MVP. It was just fucking, it was roasting Armigers with that Inferno cannon. Because, you know, auto hit strength 6, AP minus 2, 2 damage. I mean, he's just making 5 up invulns at that point, and everyone he fails is 2 damage. So it was pretty nifty. Then we get to the RT. Yeah. Oh, wait, no, I've actually missed a game, sorry. I played a game of Old World versus Phil. So,
and I was,
holy fuck.
I was there to take pictures, yeah.
You were there to take pictures. It was a load of fun. Phil and I have been playing Fantasy together since, I think the first game I played against Phil was like 2006, maybe 2007. So him and I have a history of Square Basin. And this was a classic matchup. It was my old Bretonians versus Tomb Kings, which he got from one of our old buddies that used to play with us, John, who used to own Classic City Comics and Games off Baxter. So it was really cool to see two armies that used to be on the table against each other 15 years ago get their time in the sun again.
It's fun to have an army that survives the death of an edition, the launch of a brand new system, and then the relaunch of essentially that system that died.
Yeah, it was. Oh my God, the Casket of Souls is still bullshit. It instantly melted. I think five of my six Knights of the Realm in one squad, and they
Sure.
just turned tail and ran.
Sure fucking
I
did.
did not pass. I did not pass a single fucking morale check that game. Every time I had to make one, my knights just ran the fuck away. But boy, when they hit something in a lance. So my list was two units of questing knights. One of them was led by a prophetess, level four wizard. I had a unit of mounted yeomen who ran forward, got shot, took one kill from an arrow, and then promptly fled off the table.
As you do.
A unit, yeah, as they do, a unit of just normal guys, just normal men at arms, who spent the entire game marching into a hail of arrows to just bounce off a squad of skeleton archers on the last turn. And then a unit of Grail Knights led by a duke. Sweet baby Jesus. This thing killed Phil's entire 1,000-point army. This unit did.
Yeah, I didn't get to stick around for the entire game, but I could see pretty quickly when it was taking out that squad of was it Tomb Guard? Where
Yeah, it was a squad of Tomb Guard led by a hero that kept healing
yeah,
them,
one of the Lich
and
Priests.
I was dishing so much damage a turn to them. Chariots are terrifying. They killed a bunch of knights, and then by the time they got in position, they got the like last three of them and his Tomb King got charged by my Grail Knights, and they just ran it the fuck over. The game ended. I had lost one Grail Knight, all of my other knights, and still had like 4 men-at-arms, and he had a Screaming Skull catapult left. God, dude, Old World is fun and it's easy, and we'll talk about that in a little bit on this episode.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Then we get to the RT that we had this past weekend.
Which unfortunately I
Uh,
did have to
so,
pass on because, as I said several
yeah.
times, I am packing to move, so I just couldn't justify taking the time to do it, unfortunately.
So it was just like our other tournaments. It was a 3-round, 1-day RT. My first opponent was old Scout Hercules. I know him as a Drukhari player, but he brought Votann this time. And holy shit, we had a slugfest. His list had two Hecaton land fortresses, three of the Sagittars, the little fucking Mario Karts.
Yeah, the Mako from Mass
Is it
Effect.
Sagittar? Yeah, the Mako. Three of those, and just like a bunch of dudes. And the first turn, he killed my Vanquisher. I was like, oh fuck, because that was what I thought was going to kill the Hecatons. And then my first turn, I killed all three Sagittars. But that game, he was just racking up objective points, and I was just picking up his models. I am the only person who has killed not one, but both of his Hecatons in 2 turns.
Wow.
Turn 3 and turn 4, I picked up a Hecaton in each of those. But that game came down to the wire. It came down to a handful of last secondaries, and I did the Blood Bowl thing. And I pulled my second draw of our RTs. Except this time it was an 87-87 draw.
What was the one you got against Justin? Because it was something up that high, too.
80-80.
Oh.
It was 80-80, and everyone was blown away because it was such a high-scoring draw.
You just got to somehow finagle a 99 to 99.
Well, the funny part of this one is we actually scored the last turn wrong. We both should have had 10 more points. So technically, it should have been a 97-97 draw.
Wow.
Which is just fucking, that's stupid. Like, that's dumb.
Yeah. But you got to keep the streak up. You gotta continue to get at least one draw every tournament.
No, I'd rather not. The next game, my round two, was against a newer player, Ryan Dean. But it was Dark Angels in an RT, and as everybody knows, that is my fucking kryptonite.
Sure is.
Except for this game.
Oh.
Oh my
My
God.
God.
So the first turn, his turn, he didn't do a whole lot in his first turn, just kind of moved for position. I moved a sentinel that was going to target his Hellblasters and a bunch of his other stuff. So he's like, oh, I'll Overwatch and supercharge with my Hellblasters and wipe this sentinel out real quick. So his 10 dudes all fired. They dealt a whopping 4 damage to the sentinel, and 6 of them died in return from the fucking hazardous tests.
Wow.
He rolled 6 of the 10 dice were ones.
Jesus.
Yeah. And then in his next shooting phase, 2 more of them died to it. Yeah, it was bad.
Okay.
My dice were on fire, and his dice were the worst I've ever seen.
You know.
That was a handed victory, or a heavy-handed victory on my side. But the real moment of the game was when he had a Land Raider and a Ballistus Dreadnought looking at everybody's favorite Leman Russ, the unkillable Aurora of Defiance. He hit me with 3 Laz cannons, all wounded. I rolled triple sixes on the save. And then he shot me with the Ballistus, wounded with both of it, and I rolled boxcars on it save.
Fucking hell.
Motherfucker ate 5 Laz cannon shots. I was like, whatever.
I feel like you need some kind of horn on your phone whenever he survives shit like that, just a blaze where that's his roar of defiance.
Yeah, dude. It was the exact same tank that in the draw against Justin at the last RT, he put his entire army into, and I passed every 4-up save for a turn.
Jesus.
Yeah, no, that's why he's got that name. I love that tank. So I won that one. So I'm going in, I was like 5th place going into the last round. So I was like, okay, doing all right. I played Cody, one of the Alabama guys, and it was a Drukhari list. But it wasn't Dark Lance spam, but it was the mission, the ritual where you drop objectives.
Oh, okay.
And he
So,
was so fast that I couldn't score primaries because I couldn't get into fucking no man's land because he just clogged me up with bodies.
yeah. So I showed
That
up
was
to
a
the tournament here just to hang out and then help with the tear down.
yeah.
And I was wondering what the fuck was going on with the objectives because they were all over the place.
Yeah, it was the ritual.
Okay, that makes sense.
I was just like stacking up bodies and tanks on his army. Like he had almost nothing left at the end of the game. I didn't have much left either, but he had less. And I still lost that game like oh God, what was it? It was 90 87-59 because I couldn't score primary.
That'll do it.
He ended up going to get, I want to say, second place or third place in the tournament.
I don't.
So I finished our RT with 1 win, 1 loss, 1 draw, and was 11th out of 22. It was just the perfect middle, and I am so okay with it.
Hey, that was my score when we went to New Orleans. It's a Dice Like Ice
Right?
tradition now.
I do entirely blame Chris on me not getting a podium because when he went to go get the prizes, there was not a guard prize.
Yeah, if there was a Cadian command squad, you would have absolutely
there
won
was a
third.
No, this time it would have had been like a Cadian heavy weapon squad or like a field ordnance team because I've already got a command squad, a normal
Or
squad for him.
another Land Raider, or Leman
Fucking
Russ.
Leman Russ. Shit, the Cadian shock troops.
Yeah.
Right there. The box is still on my. Yeah, shaking it. Still in plastic wrap sitting up here.
That's almost like you only have a billion of them already.
Yeah. Oh, I missed a hobby progress.
Oh shit.
I ordered a squad of sword brethren.
Oh, getting Black Templar-y, are you?
Yeah, I'm gonna start back into my Black Templars
From what I hear of
because
their
I've played guard exclusively for over a year
For
now.
what I hear, they're real fucking good right now if you play Space Marines.
Yeah, I know,
So,
right?
good time for it.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, so that is my just masso games played. So you wanna rock through a couple of the Warcom things because we had the Warhammer World Anniversary. And some other just big reveals out of nowhere.
Yeah, there was a surprising amount of shit that got revealed. I feel like there was more and better stuff that was revealed since our last recording than there was at fucking LVO.
Yeah.
Like what?
and we're gonna get Adepticon stuff in a couple of
Yeah,
weeks.
why did they structure it like this? I don't know. Anyway,
I
I
don't
so there's one big one that we both are really big on. I think we should save that one for
know.
last, so we'll get to that one.
Okay.
All right, so first one we'll do is a nice reboot. We're getting classic Warhammer Underworlds Warbands
I
relaunches.
literally had that one pulled up.
Yeah, so we're getting Molog the Troll and his squiggly friends. We're getting the Briar Queen and all of her ghosts. We're getting Zarbag and his gits, and what is the Skaven one? Spike Claw's Swarm. So this is like
Spike Claw's Swarm.
This is like original Warhammer Underworld stuff. So they're getting new decks put in with them. So they're doing they're doing away with the deck building aspect of previous Underworlds additions and making it where every team just has their own specific deck, which I'm super okay with. I like that a lot. I don't like people power building decks. There's a reason I don't play competitive Magic. So yeah, might end up picking up Zarbag's Gits just because I don't own that, and that would be a fun one to play with Shadespire if I ever want to learn how to actually play this game.
Yeah, I might pick up. I use Spikeclaw Swarm to convert assassins and leaders for my Skaven army to make them stand out.
Yeah, they look really good. That's, I guess that could be a good one to lead into something that was fun that's not Warcom, but there were some leaks of some stuff that might be some new Skaven artillery vehicles. So, 4th edition.
Looking at it, it looks like it might be weapon teams.
4th edition right
somebody
around the corner.
Somebody went through in Photoshop and cut all the pieces out and looked at possible assemblies for them, and it looks like weapon teams.
Yeah, weapon teams were my first instinct when I saw those two.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's a fun little reboot right there. And hey, as always, Underworlds has the best models in Age of Sigmar, typically.
Oh yeah, hands down.
All right, what went for you next?
So we got another Kroot model.
Yeah.
The Kroot Lone Spear, which is pretty fucking cool looking.
Yeah.
Dude's riding on a dinosaur, and you can give him either the Kroot Sniper Rifle, which looks cool. Its stats are distinctly okay. It's ballistic skill 3, one shot, strength 6, AP 2, damage 3. It is precision, so it's
so he can,
worrying for my guard.
He can kill a character in 2 turns if he's lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's,
there's got to be some other rules for it. It's also heavy, so I mean, it's gonna kill soft guard. It's gonna kill guard and sisters pretty easily.
Yeah, any under Space Marine level toughness should be okay.
Or you can give him the fucking anti-tank javelin, which is cool as fuck looking.
Also known as,
but
the
it doesn't have its stats.
The Thunderpoon from Mad Max. That is the canonical name for
it. Seriously, dude. That is a cool fucking model.
Yeah.
The more I look at this, the more I really like the Kroot stuff.
The more I look at this, the more I'm like, man, this would be really cool if they did the Exodite Eldars, where it was the fucking nature hippie Eldars. Is just have the dinosaur
mounts.
Or if
the Kroot had pants.
Hmm?
Or if the Kroot wore pants.
Or a loincloth or anything, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. They're weird.
They
naked.
Really need like a utility kilt. Like, just the more I look at those models, the more I'm like, oh, it's so close to being cool, but they just need a belt or something to break up the torso.
Yeah, there's just something missing.
Yeah, yeah. But we talked about that last week. But yeah, this is a really cool model. I really like his dinosaur. Definitely on the whole, like the direction they're going with the recent Kroot reveals, they're very solid.
What's the mother you got?
Oh, well, we got a real big one, Tony. This one is just lighting up the internet. We got a DLC pack for...
Are they re-rolling?
Oh. A DLC pack for Power Wash Simulator. where you
fucking weird.
Play as a Mechanicus guy, tech priest, who's cleaning up some Warhammer shit. This is clearly a goof DLC patch. This is just for funsies. Like, nobody's taking this seriously. It's just kind of a weird out of left field thing that nobody expected. And you know, I'm kind of here for it. I don't play Power Wash.
They talked about it a while ago about a rhino in it.
Yeah, apparently it's one of the only games that has a lot of like the latest Primaris specific stuff.
Primaris stuff in it.
But it's in a Power Wash game and not like Dawn of War 4 or whatever. So yeah, if you want to have I guess podcast game is mostly what this is for. Listen to us while you play Power Wash Simulator when this comes out.
Right.
So yeah, that's there you go. Video game news. What's next, Tony?
Well, we got a new world, or no, who is this guy even for?
It's World Eaters.
Indrad Hard, no, he punches the heads off of World
because
Eaters.
Because he's an ex-World Eater, he's a Black Shield now.
Is he? Okay, so he's a Black Shield, alright. I read the books, but none of them stuck. It's a cool model, like, I like the model. He's super, I mean, I guess he's got the World Eater thing on his backpack. It's the most battle damaged Space Marine I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, his fucking shoulder pads are blown apart, his knee pads are busted up. He is super pissed off looking. I dig the model.
It's a good one. Yeah.
It's really dynamic.
If you want a really dynamic, like, captain for your Space Marines or something, or I guess if you actually play Horus Heresy, which who does that, then this is a really cool one to pick up. I like it a lot. Very dynamic, very cool. And like you said, one of the only times you ever really see, like built-in battle damage. Normally, if you want battle damage, you have to go in with a Zacto knife and do it yourself. But this guy has been mangled.
Yeah. Looks good, though.
Really cool. Don't want to pay $45 for him because he's Forge World, but you know.
Yeah.
Let's see.
What's your next one?
Well, after that, we are finally getting some launches of a lot of stuff that was recently shown off for Age of Sigmar. We're getting Dawnbringers Book 5, Shadow of the Crone, where we're getting the Daughters of Cain cool hag witch model who's got way too much hair in front of her face and has the cool raven wings and all that stuff. The big one that I'm excited for is we're getting the Saviors of Cinderfall, which is the Vampire Hunters.
That's a cool fucking set.
Kallus and Tol, the protectors of Hammerhall, with all of their just, I guess this is a Warcry gang or a Shadespire gang. I don't know, but they're really fun. I was probably also go
it's
for cities.
It's gotta be Shadespire.
I imagine they're awesome in cities as well, though. All these like specific bands like this tend to have ridiculous rules in Age of Sigmar. So yeah,
Some of them are good. Some of them suck.
That's fair. They're new, so I expect
some of them
they're
suck
good.
Real bad.
But whatever the case, really cool models. Fully intend on picking them up at some point in the near future. They're also launching some of the Spearhead boxes that they showed off, which are, what was the 40K equivalent, where it's like, here's 1,000 points or whatever.
Combat Patrol.
Combat Patrol, there you go. So we're getting Stormcast Eternals. We are getting Cities of Sigmar, a new Flesh Eater Quartz box, which I'll probably pick up because this is all the cool new models, and that's a good way to beef up my feck whenever I get to them. And then we're also getting some of that Warcry terrain, which is the cool Lizardmen temple that has been overrun by the meat trees. And they're doing a solo launch for the Maw Pit for the Ogre Tribes, which is also a very cool terrain piece.
That is a huge fucking terrain piece.
Yeah, it's like a proper terrain piece. Like, I would want this just for the actual, like, board just to have because it looks cool, let alone it actually being something ogres can use. So, that's been some Age of Sigmar stuff.
Yeah, that one. I love the terrain that GW does.
Yeah, it's really solid.
See, when you were talking about controversial Internet on Fire models, I thought you were talking about the new Custodes model.
Oh,
the new shield
boy.
Captain.
Yes, this guy was showed off.
Old Shorty McChonkenstonk
for the
himself.
Warhammer World Anniversary. Boy, is this guy squat and chonky.
Yeah, it is. It is what if Custodes, but Danny DeVito.
Yeah, I don't. So looking at the model, I feel like a lot of it is perspective because he's kind of like.
I do as well because he's squatting a little bit.
Yeah, because his foot's going up on a piece of terrain. He's not leaping off of a hero rock, but he is standing on a hero rock. So like his back leg is going into the background, obviously. So it looks a little shorter than it should. He also has fucking ridiculously huge pauldrons, even by 40K standards. So
yeah, especially by Custodes standards. Yeah. Like, it is massive.
So it makes everything else look really small. He's got this huge, like, back mohawk thing, which is actually very Votan coded. Like, that's I haven't really seen anything else that does that without it actually being a proper back banner.
Yeah,
he's just got odd proportions. Like, initial glance when I saw this, I thought this was, like, proportion sculpting from, like, 2005, where it's, like, a good-looking model, but they didn't quite do it right.
Yeah. So, if you scroll down and look at the picture of him in the new Auric Champions Battle Force box, he looks a little bit taller because the camera is straight onto him instead of that weird, like, slight angle, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know.
Which he looks better, but he still looks real squat. Also, holy fuck, that's a hell of a box. That's a 2,000-point army in a box.
Yeah, this is just, hey, do you want an army? Cool. Buy a bottle of Retributor Gold and you're good to go.
Yeah, it's five of the fucking Terminators.
Which are still the best Custodian models.
Mm-hmm. One of the Terminator captain models, this dude, five of the normal custodian guys, and fucking six jet bikes.
Yep, that is legitimately just a custodian's army. Like, maybe you want to,
Let's...
you maybe want to pick up a Telamon or something, depending on what build you want to do, or maybe one of the Land Raiders. But like, other than that, that's all you need, really.
Yeah, and I wonder, it looks like that box might come with the
I don't know if it comes with it, but they're definitely doing a simultaneous launch.
Yeah, it doesn't say. Usually those boxes will come with the codex.
Typically, yeah.
What else you got?
Well, similar vein, they showed off a new model for the orcs. Their codex is also coming
Love
out
it.
soon, and they got a new big mech model who is very solid. He has a torso with some cool robo legs and a fuck off huge cannon. Looks like you can build it to have like a shock attack cannon or one of the orc plasma equivalents, essentially. You can change his right arm to be a drill or a big pinchy claw. They have a head that I don't like, which is the grimacing one that they've shown off for all their models. And then they have a one that I do like, which has his big fucking iron gob and he's screaming at people.
Oh, I love a good old Iron Gob,
I don't like the grimacing one because he doesn't have teeth. Like, orcs always have one big tooth coming out. You gotta,
Oh yeah, he doesn't.
yeah,
I didn't even
it
notice
just
that.
looks wrong, and it's he's weirdly smooth, and I don't like it. But the other head is way better. Yeah, if you like orcs, this is a fantastic fucking model. Really, really solid.
I do like that he's got the half cyborg head
That
though
is cool.
in the grimace
And it
one.
probably wouldn't be too hard to green stuff a tooth onto him. So, you know, you could always go that route as well. What is it? He has a, it's not a shock attack cannon, it's a tractor blaster. Anti-fly 3 with devastating wounds. Good thing not many people take flyers these days.
Except for the entire Eldar army.
That is true, Drukhari.
And a bunch of Tyranids.
You know, maybe he's better than I thought. It is also one attack, though.
That's actually a disgustingly good comp.
Yeah, for heavy
But it is
stuff.
still 5.
Yeah, he is still an orc.
Without
He is
heavy.
still gonna miss when it matters. But yeah, very solid model. And then they're doing a Battle Force that comes with a Stompa, a truck, and all your basic orc shit.
Good Battle Force box.
Yeah. If you like orcs, this is a good one. But yeah, a lot of boys and such. And then also the Codex launch and bing bang boom. There you go.
We had a Stompa at the RT as well.
I
Another Ryan brought it.
I saw that thing
and,
to the side pretty frequently.
Boy, that thing actually kicked a lot of ass.
Did it? Well, good for him.
It killed Mortarion just like it was nothing.
That's saying a lot because he's really hard to kill.
Yeah, but that box is like, does Tony want to start another orc army that he doesn't like?
The answer is no, you don't.
I know.
It's
Well, that wasn't the answer the last two times I did it.
It's the problem with this hobby. We want everything. You just got to figure out what you got time and money for. Oh, well.
Speaking of wanting everything, they pulled back more of the old world models. So you can now get the skeleton kit on its own for Tomb Kings, the Nekka Emissary of Setra, which is the one standing on the Hero Rock holding the giant scroll with the beetles on it. You can now actually order the Lich Priest Tomb Dragon Monster Crocodile thing.
The skeleton dragon,
Necrolith on Bone Dragon. You get the horsemen again. The chariots are back. The Tomb King and chariot. Like, all that stuff is back available. And for the Bretonians, we've got the knights on foot again, which I need to order a box of those. I don't know if I want to build them with the two-handed weapons or the sword and shield. Probably sword and shield, because that's knightly. Two-handed weapons are for
Oh,
cowards.
but they look so cool.
They do look really cool. You've got the big-handed 90s lord is available. Knights of the Realm, Trebuchet, those are back. The one that kind of surprised me is the old metal peasant models, which were like the really special archer models that look way different. They're wearing like surcoat tabards instead of just, you know, shitty leather armor.
Oh, yeah, so they are.
Yeah, the questing knights are back, which those are probably some of the best models GW's ever made. I love their command group musician playing the fucking lute. And then the green fucking knight is back. You can order him again.
No, you can't. He's currently sold out.
He has been sold out since about 40 seconds after it went live.
Yeah. In theory, you can purchase the Green Knight again.
Everyone fucking freaked. Yeah.
I recently put on a bat rep in the background, and there was a whole lot of, I attack a Green Knight. No, you don't. He's ethereal. Fuck.
Yep. The Green Knight is nigh impossible to bring down.
Yeah.
Because he's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's the best model that GW's ever sculpted.
Mm.
It is fucking beautiful.
It is very good. I wouldn't go that far, but I'm also not a Bretonian Stan.
That's true. I am.
There you go.
I am Stan the Bretonian Man. God, it's a pretty model.
And along with that launch, we're also getting a Fantasy Roleplay starter set, which has the rules, has a lot of gubbins for keeping track of stuff, has a cool map, that sort of thing. Same thing with Wrath and Glory, the 40K starter set for roleplay. And then we're getting a lot of classic Warhammer art prints. So if you want like 3rd and 4th edition Codex art or Battletome art for Warhammer Fantasy, you can buy prints of it now. And they are just, I love that art. That era of art for fantasy stuff is amazing. I love it.
So, did you see that there is a Blood Bowl battle report on Warhammer Plus now?
I did. It's amazing. I love that Games Workshop is, like, getting into Blood Bowl. Like, they're trying to actually push it to people. It's great. But there's other...
I have another reveal before we talk about
there's other stuff too. We need to talk about. So, let's go into the recently revealed Dark Oath army, which is the old Chaos Marauders, but they're bringing them back with... I guess they're making them essentially their own army for Slaves to Darkness now, which is really cool. They have the Dark Oath Chieftain on Warsteed, who is kind of the barbarian of your Marshal on Steed that you have for Cities of Sigmar, a very similar pose. They have a Wilder Fiend, which is just a really fucking cool new Chaos Spawn, and I will 100% be getting these for my Iron Warriors to use as Chaos Spawn, because they're just awesome. Super good. Also getting the Dark Oath Marauders, like I said, which are just some strong Conan the Barbarian stuff in a really good way. Like, just the whole muscle bunch is here. Spears and shields, really cool standard bearers, guy with drum, you know, barbarian shit. Fell Riders, which are their new mounted cavalry. Again, barbarian guys on horses. All their horses have really cool, like, demon head masks, which I don't think most horses would be comfortable wearing, but I guess they bullied them into doing it because they're chaos dudes. Either way, it looks really cool. Also coming with a Battle Tome supplement for Dark Oath specifically. So I guess they are just going to be kind of their own small specialist army now, which is really cool. That's actually something I did not expect at all from Age of Sigmar. So that's fun.
It's real Dothraki looking.
Real Dothraki. Lots of popular fantasy stuff just kind of all melded into one pretty cool chaos force without being like super crazy over the top chaos. Like they have 8-pointed stars and stuff, but there's no like, other than the Wilder Fiend, no obvious mutations or anything like that, really. They just look like a cool barbarian.
Yeah, real goofy facial expressions is my main issue with
them.
Some
of them do, yeah. And
the drummer.
And as always, a lot of that could be paint scheme, you know. Whatever. The drummer's eyes are just that tiny bit too big, so I think it's also the angle that they took the picture is not quite the best. So yeah, different artist might make that look a little better. And going along with that, we're also getting Gunnar Brand and his war band, who are Dark Oath cool guys, who I guess they're coming to Warcry as well. Again, just a bunch of cool fucking Conan dudes. Got one guy on a horse. We got some cool witch dude who's got like a fucking deer skull with antlers coming out of his back and such. Just real cool Conan shit, like the other Dark Oath guys. And as always, really good for D&D, huh?
Really good for D&D.
Well, all right, Tony. I think we might be at it. The final...
Nope, I got one more.
Okay.
So, as you all know, as it was well established just moments ago, I'm a massive Bretonian fan, and they re-released a game from 1997 in White Dwarf 215 called Full Tilt, which is the jousting game that you could play with your Bretonian knights. They fucking re-released it on PDF. It looks great. I'm so excited to give this a try. So here's my plan, guys. At Nova, I'm going to bring a box of knights. So it's like 12 knights. Okay. We're going to do a guerrilla joust. trade me a can or a bottle of beer, and I will give you a night. And we will go into the fucking painting room and customize our knights, and then one evening we will all get together and run a jousting tournament.
I am so fucking here for this plan.
Right?
Because at the moment, the only anything I have for Nova is doubles with you for Age of Sigmar, and then I still have to buy the ticket, but the Rookie Rumble for Blood Bowl. And otherwise I should be free, so I can make this happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, in case you guys didn't know, Andrew and I are going to Nova, as is tradition.
As is tradition. That's more than enough time for me to recover from my move to Seattle. I should be able to fly back. Easy peasy.
Yeah, so I'll have to get the rules for this all the way down and learn them well by then. But I'm so fucking excited.
Print out a primer packet for everybody who's deciding to show up. Oh, yeah, that'll be super fun.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. Well.
I think it's time, Andrew.
It's time, Tony.
I think it's time.
Back
for the greatest reveal that has ever happened.
Back on the train of GW actually gives a shit about Blood Bowl. We're getting an entirely new Blood Bowl team. This one, to my knowledge, has never been in Blood Bowl before. It's not a revamp of an old team. We're getting the Glimdwaur, what the fuck? Glimdwaur Groundhogs, also known as fucking gnomes.
Fucking gnomes!
Like Keebler Elf, full-blown gnome, too.
Yeah, dude, these are lawn gnomes to the core. They got fucking doofy hats, they got curl-tip shoes, they got pipes, they got a goose.
Beards, big fucking noses.
So fucking here for this shit, dude.
Badgers. They got foxes as their ball runners. Like, these are amazing. I don't care how they play. I'm buying this team. I'm painting this team.
Same.
I'm playing this team.
This will be my stunty team. They will be painted as Keebler elves. They will be the Keebler killers.
So, the ways...
And a new Tree Man model with them.
Yeah. They're a stunty team that also doesn't come with dodge natively, which is going to be interesting. But... they have jump up and wrestle, which is a really interesting change on the stunty dynamic. So this is going to be, I'm very interested to see how they play. Because if they're staying along stunty lines, obviously they'll have the stunty injury table, so they're easier to kick down, and they'll have an armor value of like 7. So I don't know. This is, again, no matter what, I'm getting these just because the models kick ass. These are hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
And
they also have their Beastmasters also have guard.
Yeah, which is great for a stunty.
Yeah.
I guess that goose is really taking a punch for you.
Right.
Yeah, they come with geese and badgers.
I love that the goose is wearing a little fucking hat.
Yeah. These are just super characterful models. Just everyone you look at has so much detail to it.
And boy, some old school Blood Bowl Grognards are fucking pissed.
Hey, you know what we call those people? Fucking chuds. We don't like
shit
them.
Shitbags.
Yeah, like, be happy that Games Workshop is finally supporting your favorite game, you fucking dour assholes. Christ. But how can you stay dour looking at these guys? They're hilarious.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, that Tree Man model, the two poses are so vastly different that you can build it in.
Yeah.
Like, it's way... because the new Tree Man model's good, but... it's like a faceplate swap. Otherwise, the tree's identical.
Yeah. This one, body's the same, legs are the same, but you can swap the arms and also the faces, it looks like.
The arms, the faces, the stuff in the tree.
Yeah, I've got the shoe hanging from one of them.
Yeah.
These are beautiful. I love these.
These are fucking great. Yeah, this is the Blood Bowl team that I'm going all in on when it comes out. Because I haven't done that yet.
And we're not done, because they already announced a star player. We are getting Rodney Roachbait, the gnome fisherman.
Yeah. His skill's really good.
Yeah, it's a really good skill. So he's a really dynamic pose. He's reeling in the ball with his fishing pole, and it's clearly deflating because he's hooked it with a goddamn fishing pole. Again, staying along the lines of the other gnomes, he's got his big fucking garden gnome hat, his huge mustache, he's got a fun little feather in his cap, he's wearing waders because he's a fisherman. He's got a
spilled can of beer that we've got to paint up his classic city lager.
A crushed can of Bud on his base, as well as a overturned bucket of worms. Like, this is just fucking hilarious. I love it. And he has his twice per game ability, because it's once per half, catch of the day. When he begins his activation within three squares of the ball, and if it's on the ground, he can roll a six. On a 1-2, nothing happens. And on a 3+, he just gets the ball. He doesn't even have to roll to see if he catches it, because he already hooked
fucking
it.
Fucking good.
That's so good, because you can just keep that behind your line and just snag the ball from people and run away with it.
It's so goddamn good.
Wonderful, fantastic models, and I still have to think of a good paint scheme for them, because my immediate thoughts are either paint them like Smurfs, because they kind of lend themselves to that pretty well.
Oh, please do.
Or go hard the opposite direction and paint them really bland Shih Tzu grimdark and have them be really creepy, because my first thought was like Red Caps, which would be really funny for Blood Bowl, because those of you who don't know your folk tales, Red Caps are like goblin gnome creatures that would they murder people and then dye their hats with the blood of their victims. So that would be kind of an interesting thing to see. Don't know how well that would work out, but my imagination is running wild, and I'm just so thrilled to see new Blood Bowl.
Yeah. Although it's so good.
That just pushes Tomb Kings further away, unfortunately. More and more classic teams that aren't getting a launch. But you know, for a team that looks this good, I'm pretty okay with that.
I mean, if it was a Bretonian team coming out, my head would have exploded, I think.
Oh, yeah. If you got Old World Bretonians and then Blood Bowl Bretonians back to back, I think I would have just seen a grown man weep.
Yeah. In a good way.
In a good way. But,
oh, all right. So, yeah, that's really, really all the Warcom stuff that, you know, mattered at all to us.
Again, shockingly good. Like, this was
shockingly
way
good.
Better than LVO for me.
Yeah, which means that the Adepticon preview is going to be talking about 4th edition AOS.
Got it. I hope so. If they could pull away from Stormcast being in the starting box, my dream scenario, which won't happen because they wouldn't do Chaos v. Chaos, but get New Skaven versus Chaos Dwarves.
Oh, man.
Because then you'd have, like, mechanized v. mechanized.
One of the rumors I heard was fucking cities v. Skaven.
Ooh. Here's the Horde box. Have fun.
Right?
That would be a really good one, too. Just anything to pull back from...
Oh, it'd be a great box, and I would have to have
anything to pull back from more Stormcast models. Like, you know, no shade thrown at Stormcast players specifically, but man, you guys get a lot of support. And, you know...
And your army still sucks. Like, I hate to say it, they're not very good right now.
Not very good right now.
Like, not in a malicious way. They're not very good right now.
Yeah, for being the poster boy for Age of Sigmar, they don't get as much support as they should, but... Yeah. We'll see what happens in 4th. Maybe they'll get some good rules.
So as we talked about earlier, Andrew and I are both going to the Nova Open this year, which is the 28th through the 1st. So it's like 4.5-ish days.
August through September, Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, August through September. Yes, of course. So I just totally just skipped on that.
The date and the date. Be sure to be there at date.
Every 28th through the 1st is Nova.
If only.
Right? Oh, God, no. That's expensive.
I couldn't afford it, and I would not be able to recover from the hangover, but...
Right. Did you get the Dwarf Nova this year?
I did.
Hell yeah. Nice. Yeah, Matt and I, for the second year in a row, got the Supernovas.
There was that moment where my finger hovered over the Supernova, and then I was like, no, I'm moving across the country, save at least a bit of money.
Yeah, I've got it set right now because you get to select when you do it for your second year what you want from KR. I've got it set as two of the cases that go in the backpack, but I might see if I can change that to one of the Kaiser 3 bags.
Ooh, two of the cases that go in the backpack would make sense since you just have a flappy, empty backpack right now.
Yeah, I'm going to turn it to my Battletech bag, I think, because it's perfect for it.
That would make sense.
Yeah. So Andrew, what events do you have at Nova so far?
So as I've said, the only things I've really got right now, we're going to the GW preview, as is tradition.
Yep.
Gotta hang out with all our buds and watch everybody's fucking minds explode and or be really disappointed, depending on what they reveal. Or have the fun roller coaster of emotion of a resin fulgrim, which... That still will always be one of my favorite Nova moments.
Boy, that was just the ultimate bamboozling. I loved
it. It was hilarious. Fulgrim transformed. Heresy.
Mystic Collective.
Oh, man. After that, we're doing the Badcast live show, because of course we are, as is tradition. Got to show up with the Beardalier again. And, you know, heckle our buds. of which we make more and more of every year, which is why you go to Nova. After that, Thursday, we are going to do Age of Sigmar doubles, as we said. Yep. Unless there are some massive point changes, Tony and I are going to do some dumb cavalry lists, so we can either win or be dead very quickly. It's going to be one or the other, and I'm okay with that, because we usually stay up way too fucking late the night before, so the first two games, you want to go very quickly. So, as of right now...
Dude, that was the most hungover I've been playing a game, and it was on fucking live stream.
Thankfully, I was just tired. I wasn't hungover at that point, so I could kind of steer the game. But more coverage of that if you want to go back a few episodes to last Nova. So as of now, the plan is to run your Cities of Sigmar guys, and I'm going to run Flesh Eater Courts, and we're just going to do our mounted cavalry, and it's going to be stupid and great.
Yeah, we're
going to
play Bretonians.
It's going to be stupid and great. After that, we will be doing the Rookie Rumble, which is sevens, which is fun.
There's only 25 tickets left for that, so you might want to get on.
Yes,
that.
I will be doing that very shortly. Probably tonight. Which is sevens, which is super cheap, easy Blood Bowl, where they double the cost of rerolls. Your star players are not allowed. Your big guys are crazy expensive. You do not want to waste money on a big guy. So it just tends to be who can keep the most bodies on the pitch. And stunty teams actually tend to do shockingly well, which is great, because as far as I'm aware, everybody we know that's going, us included, is planning on taking a stunty team of some sort. And that'll be very funny.
Yep.
There's going to be a lot of gnomes there this year, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I know. You know, there are.
So that'll be a ton of fun. And as of right now, that's currently all I actually have on the docket. Although, as I've said, I'm busy getting my entire life shoved in the boxes. I haven't really had much time to scroll through the events. I just wanted to make sure to secure the big tickets for stuff I definitely want to do. So, that's it for me. Do you have anything else currently planned, or are you also just kind of...
I've got a couple of other events. Friday night, I am doing the BattleTech Irby Derby. And I really want you to do that with me, Andrew. There's still like 15 tickets left on that. It is Death Race BattleTech with urban mechs only.
It would be very funny, given that I've literally never played BattleTech.
Yeah, it should be fine. And then Saturday, I am doing the Alpha Strike Grinder, which is just like a big free-for-all learn-to-play BattleTech Alpha Strike, which I might change that to something else if I can find something better on Friday during the day to do that I really want to do. But the one I'm actually really excited about is Saturday at 1 p.m. I am taking a painting class.
Whoa.
I am doing the Painting White with Oscar Lars, who I met Oscar up there last year. He's a super cool dude. He did that, the KO army we looked at.
Right.
That was his.
Wow. Yeah, we met him while we were waiting for Phil to get his stuff.
For Phil. Yeah, and he was just a super nice guy. I chatted with him for a while, chatted with him a little bit after that, and I ran into him somewhere else up there. But so I'm doing his Painting White class on Saturday. So that ought to be a load of fun. I don't have an army that I want to paint white yet, but that is one of the colors that is super intimidating to me, and I haven't committed to doing anything in white because it is so intimidating.
Yeah, that is a skill that is very hard to master, I'm sure, but once you actually have it in your repertoire, you can whip it out just kind of whenever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that is my Nova Skigiel.
And yeah, I will definitely be combing through that later just to really nail down some other fun stuff. Might try another speed painting thing for charity. This time I know how army speed painters work, so I might be a little...
They have a bunch of those rolling around. Yeah,
so, might do that again for charity, so it's fun.
Exactly.
But yeah, at the moment, currently, I just kind of feel like doing kind of what we did last time, where we just have a couple of events and then just sort of bum around and hang out with friends and pick up random games here and there. And I'm also going to be flying, so there's really only so much I can carry with me. So unless I want to check a bag, and then you have to deal with the rigmarole of, hey, did my shit get crunched or lost? So we'll see closer to. But yeah, as of now, 1,000 points worth of flesh eaters riding big bats. I mean horses. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, now that we're doing Slaughter Day this year, they turned it into a 2-day event.
Yeah.
So,
which, you know, it's fun, but I kind of don't want to necessarily dedicate.
Like, that's great. Like, good. I'm glad they turned it into a 2-day event, and it's a big thing, but I don't want to do multi-day events if I can help it up there. I want to get the most bang for my buck. I can play GTs and stuff out here. So.
Yeah, which, as far as I'm aware, Dr. Chris is still deciding if he wants to do the GT. And I know Matt's going this year, and he...
Matt is signed for the GT. Justin is signed for the GT.
Yes, and Justin is joining us this year, yeah.
Yeah, Danielle and I have basically talked Tim and Kara into going.
Which will be
Kara
fun.
Kara into going. Yep. Jess and Trent are going.
Yeah, we're just going to have...
Me and Danielle are going.
A good
you're going.
Chunk of the dice like
we're
going to
have a large fucking crew. So come find us. Come hang with us.
Being drunken shitheads somewhere around town.
Mm-hmm. So just scrolling through this jousting thing. I'm really wanting to do this. So it will be broken into teams, and each team will have three knights on
okay.
it. So that'll be fun. So it'll be me, you, and I assume Trent will be the other one who wants to do this with us out of our crew.
Probably, yeah.
So the dicest of icists. Oh, man. So speaking of Bretonians, though, talked about this a little bit earlier. Played a game of Old World. Andrew, I know you have some interest in Old World.
Yes, this is ostensibly the topic of this episode, even though it's been a little...
Yes, this is me convincing Andrew to
a
play
a little rambly,
you
but...
Guys are you guys are going to get to see... me as a pusher in real time,
well,
so enjoy.
And I did get rid of a decent chunk of this my stuff for this move. So, like, I sold off my Slaves of Darkness army. I like them a lot. They were a really fun project army. I had a lot of fun learning how to paint OSL on them. However, I didn't necessarily feel like playing them. So I have a gap in my current amount of armies that I typically have. So maybe,
exactly.
Maybe that gap can be filled with Old World. So, Tony... What's your pitch? Why should I play the Old World?
Okay, so you love the lore.
Sure.
I know you love the lore of Old
World. I will go ahead and preface. I've played a metric fuck ton of Total War Warhammer. So
exactly. What faction do you generally use when you're playing Total War?
So 9 times out of 10, if I'm not playing a brand new faction I've never tried or a brand new lord I've never tried, if I'm just doing fun, I'm going to put 50 hours into this and then get bored, it's either going to be orcs or it's going to be vampire counts.
Okay, so there's actually an orc box coming out.
Which is true. I have seen that.
And it's a real good box.
Yes, it is. And it's got classic trolls.
So it does have classic trolls in it, which is also right up your alley. Boy, this is going to be a real short segment.
So we'll preface this again by saying I'm probably going to buy into it already, but continue to sell me on it.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so what I like about Old World is it is a good, solid rank and flank game. It is based off of the rules they had been working on since, I don't know, when did the first Warhammer Fantasy Battles come out? Like 89?
Yeah, it started before Warhammer 40K. So, yeah, they've had it around for ages. Like, I think it was Warhammer Fantasy and then Rogue Trader. So,
let's see. Warhammer Fantasy Battles was first published in July 1983.
Yeah.
So this has been a rule set that they have released regular editions of until, what was that, 2007 when they blew, or 2009?
No.
When they blew up the Old
World?
That
was later than that.
Was it?
No, it was in the 2010s for sure.
Was it? Okay. Either way. So 40 years.
15, I want to say.
40 years this rule set has been being worked on. So there's bukus of lore. There's great models for it. Even if they are old models, a lot of them still hold up really, really well. And even the ones that don't, I know you got a soft spot for the goofy shit because I've seen your fucking Frostgrave warband.
You're not wrong. Also, July 4th, 2015 is when Age of Sigmar started.
2015?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not bad. So it's a very smooth rule set. It's one rule book, and then your force book, your army book. There's not a million different, you know, you need this and this and this, and the general's handbook, and the chapter approved, and the mission pack, and the this, and the that. It is the rule book and one of the two indices right now. Then when the army comes out, it gets its own rule book that replaces the index.
So,
or adds to it.
Having played
exactly sure.
previous editions and... a recent game of Old World. What seems to be the difference, if any, between the rule sets that you've noticed?
The magic phase.
Okay.
So, in the old Warhammer Fantasy Battles, the thing that turned a lot of people off and that some people absolutely loved was the magic phase. It was a bidding and bluffing system where each of your wizards generated X amount of dice, and then you would say, I'm spending X amount of dice to cast this spell. And your opponent would go, I'm going to spend X amount of my dice to dispel it, so on and so forth. So really magic-heavy armies would just control that phase. Like, if you were playing a Tzeentch army and I was playing, like, Empire, I'd be like, okay, I got four dice and you've got like 18 fucking dice. You can do whatever the fuck you want with nothing I can do about it in this phase.
So it was like a pool system where you had the 18
dice
to draw from?
Yeah, it was
a
pool system.
Okay.
Exactly. Now, it's a lot more like 8th edition and 9th edition 40K were, where you generate the power in that specific turn. There is no psychic phase. It's in this turn, you can cast hex, like in this phase, you cast hexes, you cast buffs, you cast vortexes, things like that. And it's based off of your wizard's level. And it's not just, okay, well, I'm always rolling 2d6 looking for this number. Now your wizard modifies it. So say I've got a level 4 wizard, and my casting value on something is 10. So I roll my 2d6, I add 4 to it, because I've got a level 4 wizard. If I equal or beat 10, it goes off. When you're dispelling it, say you've got a level 2 wizard that's in the range to dispel. You're rolling 2d6, adding 2 to it, and trying to beat mine.
Okay.
The really good thing, oh man, my wizard got fucked early and I don't have a wizard. Every turn, you have something called a fated dispel you can use. It is just an unmodified 2d6. If you roll boxcars on it, it doesn't matter. What they rolled, you dispel it. But it's just like normal dispel dice. So you're rolling two dice trying to beat their total.
Okay.
You can get it once a turn. And even if you've got wizards on the board, you can still do it.
Sounds pretty fun. So
yeah,
so like good. Shooting phase, you're casting Witch Bolt. And then in like movement phase, you're casting hexes and stuff like that. Is that, that's how I'm understanding
it? Your movement phase... Conveyance is what you cast in the movement phase.
Okay, yeah, not specifically hexes, just X phase has Y magical effect.
Yeah, X phase are these type of spells.
Okay.
This phase is this type of spell. Yeah. So there's all that. So it streamlines that a lot. I mean, Phil and I played that 1,000-point game in just under 2 hours, relearning all the new rules. We had to look up a lot of stuff, too, because neither of us were able to get our hands on the hard copies of the books, so we were having to sort through PDFs on things, which kind of sucked.
Always a blast.
I'm not going to lie. Yeah, it's a new edition. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
But the books are coming back into stock pretty regularly. The other thing about it is you can customize it so very much. You can go full-on Hero Hammer. So 40K now... You know, your squad is this many guys or this many guys. You have all these things. They all cost the same amount of points. It doesn't matter what you put on them. Your hero, he is this. He can have one of these four enhancements.
And one relic or whatever. Yeah.
And
which is an enhancement.
Yeah, no, not anymore. Now they're just enhancements. Now it's just the four enhancements.
Yep.
In this, it's like, all right, here's your general. Your general, do you want to mount it on something? Those all cost this amount of points. Do you want to upgrade him to a level 3 or a level 4 wizard? That's this many points. All of the items, you can get, like, your free battle standard bearer that you can get with things. In the Bretonians, it's a paladin. Make one of them a battle standard bearer. He can have a magic standard worth up to 100 points. And there's, like, 10 or 12 different standards that are all varying points costs. Magic weapons up to 75 points. He can take vows, so you can really, really super customize a character exactly how you want it in the game.
Yeah.
Say you've got a couple of points left over, and you're like, well, fuck. Like in, I know you had this problem in AOS where you're like, well, I've got 30 points left over that I can't do anything with in this build.
Yeah.
But I really want to run this build. Well, in this, you're like, okay, well, I can just, you know, throw another Knight of the Realm onto here and two more men-at-arms onto there. Boom, there's my 30 points.
Yeah, which is
so
a problem
really
a lot of people have had with 40K recently, too, with the launch of 10th edition, mm-hmm. where they simplified it to Age of Sigmar rules, which I think, on the whole, I do prefer that system. But it feels like Old World is old, so they're specifically trying to dredge up that kind of feeling for the game, which I'm totally fine with.
Yeah, it also is extremely cinematic because initiative is back. So it's not just like, oh man, you're fucking Gretchen. These little shitheads just charged my, you know, avatar of Kane, and your Gretchen get to fight first. What is that fucking shit? No, it is. It's got initiative. So, like, if you're just a bunch of dudes, even if you charge into the elves, it's like the fucking Helm's Deep, man. Those elves are swinging first. I know, the movie Helm's Deep, not the book Helm's Deep.
Ba ba ba. Ba ba.
Bum, bum. But yeah, so you get a lot of really cinematic moments. The movement phase matters a ton because it is a rank and flank game. Right now, I still think the best rank and flank game is Song of Ice and Fire Minis game by Cool Minis or Not.
And that was going to be my next question,
But
is having played
yes.
now, which do you prefer? But
It depends on how simple of a game I want. If I want a really, let's see, how do I want to phrase this? If I want a, am I going to play 40K or am I going to play Age of Sigmar? It's kind of how it is with those. How smooth of a brain do I want my game
do
to
you
go?
want a game that's very simple with good universal rules that plays very well if everybody knows the rules, or do you want a game where you could have a 500 point wizard on a dragon who's going to die to some dipshit? Yeah.
Exactly. Like, do you want a game that feels super cinematic and really has like a whole bunch of cool moments in it and a lot of like different things you can do? Like, whenever we play, like Lannisters versus Free Folk, it's generally the same kind of things are going to happen. I'm going to fuck with your morale, you're going to crush me with giants.
Or bears.
Like, or bears. But like, there's not a ton of customization in that game.
Yeah. And the customization
Like,
comes from like the
Tormund Giant's
NC.
Bane is Tormund's Giant's
It
Bane.
comes from like the
That's what he is.
NCUs and that sort of stuff. Yeah. Which that,
Right.
yeah. But that's not the same as my guy has Nagash's fucking crown or whatever.
Exactly. So that's the big thing, is this game just has more of those like moments, those really cinematic moments in it. Like his like Phil's Tomb King charging his chariot through a unit of knights as my guys are frantically trying to finish off his giant unit of skeletons, and they turn and like the ground knights have a rule called counter charge, where if you charge outside of your movement distance, I get to charge you too, and we both count as charging.
And then
And
bonuses
when you
ensue.
charge, you yeah, and when you charge, you gain initiative. You gain one initiative for every inch you go up to three.
Yeah,
So that's how like you take things down that are faster, you get the charge on them.
my
And
cinematic moment that I saw while you guys were playing was when the Casket of Souls killed off almost all that squad of Knights of the Realm, and the one guy survived and charged into the chariots bravely and died like a fucking idiot.
no, he didn't die. He survived when he hit the chariots, though. Then he fell back and got run
Yeah,
over.
died like a fucking idiot. But
He died like a fucking idiot. But it was
it
cool.
was cool and very funny.
It was super cool and funny. Yeah, and it's just stuff like that. The game also isn't nearly as lethal as a Song of Ice and Fire Miniatures game by Cool Minis or not.
Or even Age of Sigmar at
Like,
this point.
you're not or Age of Sigmar. Yeah, you're not just like scooping up handfuls of your dudes there. I mean, of course, that probably depends on the army. But like, your front rank is what fights. So the entire unit isn't fighting. It's your front rank. So you really have to determine, well, do I want this squad to be, 10 guys wide, 3 guys deep, or do I want it to be, 5 by 8 or whatever? Like, do I want to make it a little bit easier to maneuver, but I'm not getting as much frontage into fighting you? Or do I want to bring as many weapons to bear as I can, but it's a little bit more cumbersome to
Or
do?
try and do like
Whereas,
a nice balanced in between.
exactly, because Song of Ice and Fire Miniatures by Cool Minis or Not is always going to be 3 ranks of 4, or 2 ranks of 2 if it's cavalry.
It's
That's what it
a
is.
very elegant system, and it's universal across the board, so it makes total sense. But yeah, you don't get that quite that
Exactly.
level of flexibility like you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have that flexibility. Oh man, I can't reform this unit to get in between these two obstacles. I guess they have to go around.
Okay.
Like in this one, it's in Old World, if you've got a unit that you know is out of position, you can reform them into a marching column, which a marching column is going to be, it is less ranks wide than it is long. So if your unit was 5 wide, 3 deep, and they're out of position, you turn them into a marching column in one of their phases, they go 3 wide, 5 deep, and they double their movement distance, but they can't charge.
So they're bonuses from attacking from the side or the back to try and prevent you from doing that all the time, or is it just amount of weapons?
When you hit things on the flank, you do more to them.
Okay, that makes sense.
Flank charges are very important. When you hit them on the flank, it's, I think, oh God, what is it? They It's more difficult for them to fight. It does all kinds of stuff. It fucks with their morale. Also in this, morale, if you fail it, you don't just immediately lose people or run away and break. There is failing morale, and then there is falling back in good order. So if you have a leadership of 10 and you beat me in combat, or I beat you in combat by 4, turns your leadership into 6. So you're rolling 2d6, just like old school games on it.
Okay.
So if you roll a 1 to, or a 2 to 5, because it's 2d6, you're fine. You pass your leadership, you're all good. If you roll a 6 to 10, which you lost the combat by 4, so your leadership is functionally a 6, but if it's 6 to 10, so whatever you lost by to your unmodified leadership, you fall back in good order, which means that your guys flee, but they rally at the end of the flee. If you fail your leadership naturally, so if you roll an 11 or a 12, then you just straight flee. So there's no more of the, like, oh man, I lost combat by 9, I can't pass this morale check, and you're going to run me down because you're cavalry. So as long as you roll below your normal leadership, even if you flee, you don't get run down.
Okay.
Which is a nice change, because humans don't tend to have the best leadership.
Yeah, that's true.
Except for ground knights, they're fucking leadership 9.
Well, you know, blessed by the lady and all that.
Yeah. Now, I will say, I do have a couple of hang-ups on this game.
Okay.
You have to have movement trace.
Yeah.
They are fucking critical. Like, for a rank and flight game, they're a critical thing to have.
Although there are a lot of people doing ones with slots that are ready for magnetization and stuff on Etsy, so that's a good start.
Yes. And another great thing that a lot of people are doing are they're doing round-based movement trace. So you could use, like, your Age of Sigmar goblins in Old World.
Nice.
Which a lot of the GW tournaments and stuff are saying they're not going to allow that. I don't think that's going to be the case very long. I think they're going to realize very quickly that people are going to do this.
Hey, you know what I don't give a fuck about? Competitive play for a game this crunchy.
Well, here's the thing. Nova has an Old World GT out of the 32-person GT, and it sold out almost immediately.
No, I'm fine with other people doing it.
Because I was toying with the idea of getting a ticket, and by the time I looked at 7:20 in the evening, it was already gone.
Nah, this is one of those games that, if I do get into it, it will definitely be a beer and pretzels game. I am not going to try and, like, for me, an already decidedly pretty anti-meta fucking dealing with competitive bullshit kind of guy. This one seems like I want this to be as close to smooth brain as possible just because it is so crunchy.
Yeah. So the other thing they brought back was the old strength versus toughness table and the weapon skill table. And I remember being kind of annoyed when we lost those things for 40K and Age of Sigmar. Turns out I didn't miss them as much as I thought, because I don't remember the math on them anymore. It's like double plus one and stuff like that. So it's a chart you have to relearn.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a pain in the ass.
But you at least already kind of have an idea for that, having played it before, at least. So.
Yes. Yeah. So... But overall, I do really like the Old World. I like the aesthetics. I like the lore behind it. I like how crunchy it can be. So I think you would enjoy it. But I think that you shouldn't get into it yet.
Yeah, well, that's the main thing that's kept me from pulling the trigger so far is... even though I do like a lot of the goofy old sculpts, the way they were pushing it whenever they were initially showing it off, it kind of felt like they were going to do a lot of complete range refreshes. Just because all the initial stuff for the showing off, like Kislev and Cathay and stuff like that, because obviously they're going to be drawing from the models from Total War, Warhammer 3 specifically. So I was like, oh, okay, maybe this will be like, you know, we'll get the Tomb Kings again and we'll get skeletons that look new and modern. And, you know, we do have a lot of new models kind of from them, but those old skeletons are real fucking goofy. So, you know, that was an initial hang up for me.
Yeah.
Same with a lot of the orc stuff, too. Like some of them are like the really goofy old ones. Like I do love those old trolls. I will be getting those old trolls no matter what. They're doing the Orc War Chief on a Wyvern, which is really fun. That's a goofy old model that I like a lot.
It's a goofy as fuck old model.
But then they have the goofy old orcs that, you know, it was essentially the orc model for both fantasy and 40K for a real fucking long time with, you know, the very, like, static gorilla pose and then just the different arms and heads and stuff. So, yeah, no, it's... I'm very interested, but, like, I gotta find the army that has the perfect appeal of both cool new models and very fun old retro models, because I don't want to be painting up an army where, you know, I gotta paint 40 guys that I hate.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was one of the things I was going to say. If you're on the fence about the game, don't rush into it. There's not a lot there for it, and what there is, it's really hard to get right.
Yeah. I do already have the rule book. I did pick that up because, you know, yeah, it's a fun one to own, and I wanted to at least look into it. So.
Yeah, exactly.
But
so it's,
you know,
it's solid. It's a lot of fun.
They're doing the relaunch of Old Trolls, so they will be getting purchased by me at the very least, so I can put them on round bases for Age of Sigmar and then magnetize them to go on square bases for Old World if I do want to do that.
Have they released when they're doing that yet or no?
Not yet. It's got to be, well, Dutton got to be, but hopefully relatively soon, because they did announce that a few weeks ago. So I would imagine pre-orders. What is it, March? Probably pre-orders up by April, I would guess.
Yeah. Because I don't see any made-to-order stuff up currently on the GW site.
Yeah, nothing yet. Because they were doing all the Bretonnian and Tomb King stuff, and then the Flesh Eater Court stuff, and now all the Dark Angel stuff. So yeah, they got a pretty stuffed backlog of pre-order things right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so not a terrible chance I'll be getting into the Old World at some point. That might be the Vibes army that I do, like, you know, have a project between projects, because I'm already getting a little burned down on Hedonites, so I might need some stuff to do in between them. Thankfully, I have a lot of other backlog at the moment, but, you know, we'll see how quickly I paint up my Flesh Eaters and if I need a break from them as well. Then,
yeah, what I'm really excited about with these Bretonnians that I'm going to be painting up is the fact that it's not one unified color scheme for everything.
You don't have, it doesn't matter as long as everybody knows it's your Bretonnians.
No. Like, I'm saying, like, each of the knights, I get to play with different colors and different heraldry on every single one of them.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like, well, I guess I'll paint fucking 30 Knights of the Realm all this exact same color. No, they're each going to have their own colors and heraldry, and then the unifying thing across it will be the banners and the squads of the realm will all have the Lord's banner on it.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'll have one main squad of men-at-arms that are the ones that are better equipped. They'll be painted up in the Lord's heraldry. And then, you know, same with the archers. The better equipped archers will be painted up in that. And then, all, like, you know, I'll grab a knight and, like, two of my men-at-arms and an archer and paint them all up in the same heraldry. That way it looks like every knight has come bringing people with him.
Has rallied the banners.
Exactly, yeah. So it will look like a bunch of knights in there at attendant guys.
Okay. And that's a good way to have your in-between projects project too, because you go, oh, well, I haven't painted blue and yellow in a long time. Let's make this guy, you know, quartered blue and yellow.
Exactly. So, yeah, on my painting table right now, I've got two knights, 3 men-at-arms, and 2 archers to do that with.
Well, fun.
Because I've got some of the old archers, not the squires, but the old archers that are in surcoats.
Yeah.
That will be painted up in my Lord's colors, as opposed to the new archers, which aren't as regimented looking and they're, you know, haphazard.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, but yeah.
Well, cool.
So that's probably going to do it. Hopefully I've talked a couple of you into giving Old World a shot, or at least looking a little bit deeper into it. But if it's not your game, it's not your game. No hard feelings. I just don't love you anymore.
It is a very old style of play. So if you've come into the hobby, you come into the hobby recently and, you know, gotten to 40K in 9th and Age of Sigmar in 2nd or something like that, it's a bit of a learning curve.
Yeah. Yeah.
You haven't had to deal with templates.
Oh, yeah, and templates are back. What's not to love about templates?
And scatter die.
And artillery dice.
Yeah. So all kinds of fun new things for you. Fun old new things for you to learn.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff that a lot of the new people have never even, like, looked at before. Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, because before this relaunch, the only place to get templates was, like, Necromunda, so.
Titanicus.
And Titanicus, yeah.
You know what? They didn't bring back guess ranges, though. You no longer have to guess how far you're going to fire your artillery.
Which is good, because that's not really that fun.
Oh, it was a load of fun. Fuck you.
Same thing with shooting your bows and stuff, you know. You're like, oh, looks like it might be 18 inches. Nope, I'm outside of it. Fuck.
No, you didn't have to do it with, but you just had to do it with, like, artillery pieces mostly and things.
That was a thing back in old 40K, though.
Yeah, mortars and things. And you used to not be able to measure ranges in games.
Yeah, that stunk.
Yeah, that was pretty rough.
But yeah, Old World.
So, that's probably kind of wrapping up for us. Andrew, you got any advice to leave us
Oh,
on?
advice. Well, if you're traveling with a pet, be sure to call ahead for your airline, because fun thing I figured out, they only have a set amount of slots for pets per plane. So if you want to make sure your fun little fur baby gets to travel with you, make sure to call ahead about a week or so. Thankfully, when I called, Bosco was the only pet that's going to be on the flight as of that time, so that'll make his life a little easier. Also, depending on what state you're going to, they might actually need to have like a travel certificate from your vet to make sure they got all their shots and stuff. So get that ahead of time as well.
Yeah, and to add on to that, pets. I've never traveled with a pet before, so I don't really have anything to add on to
Neither
that
have I. This is gonna be a
one.
journey.
Look at that, a dice like ice first. Andrew, you want to do our plugs?
Oh yeah. Well, as always.
We haven't done those.
As always, the best way to reach us is dicelikeicepodcast@gmail.com. That one goes straight to us. We actually answer those. We also have Instagrams. I am the Brush Goblin. He is a mediocre miniatures painter with a bunch of underscores underneath it. Meh. The Matteocker
The mediocre.
miniatures painter.
It's okay. We've only done this 39
I can't
times.
help that you have two Instagrams, and one is the personal and another one is the painting one. I get confused. Anyway, we have those. Follow them and send us messages and like our things. We post pictures of paintings and stuff there sometimes. Technically, also have Facebook and a Twitter. Kind of fuck both those sites, though. And we have a Patreon with content. So check that out.
With
Dice
content.
Like Ice, baby. So give it a go if you want some Warhound Titan feet pics.
Oh,
And
yeah.
every monies you give us goes back into just us doing fun stuff and being able to go to Nova. And holy shit, late game hobby progress. I super fucking forgot. I did the
Yeah,
Kickstarter.
fucking at the wire, bud.
Did the Kickstarter for the Song of Ice and
Oh,
Fire
yeah.
tactics game by Cool Minis or not. So that was
Did you go Big Dragon
Well, I
Boy?
went Big Dragon Boy because that was partially funded by
Fuck yeah.
Patreon bucks, which is why that rattled that back in my memory. So there you go. Your financial decision to support us bought me a coffee table-sized dragon in a year.
I'm just excited because that means that we'll get to see you put paint on a dragon, and that's super exciting to
Oh,
me.
that is a daunting model, but yeah, it'll be a
That is a real. Dude, you're a good painter, and it's daunting to you. It is literally like pants-shittingly terrifying to me.
Oh, it's like I'm not scared of the actual painting process. I'm scared of the volume. There's just so much to paint. But I do want to take that and
Yeah.
like diorama it up. Like I really want to like get moss
Oh,
and
yeah.
like, trees and stuff and like really make it a proper thing. But that is
No,
coming in a
it
year,
good.
so I don't got to worry about it for a while.
Right.
Yeah, so that's our plugs. Your money funds our habits. So there you go.
Yeah, and it also helps us get to Nova and things like that to hang out with you guys. And it will also help for the jousting thing, because I might tap into the Patreon to do that. That way I don't have to shoulder the burden for it.
Yes.
But you know what? If we roll it on to the Nova Hotel, I will gladly pay that to play with my fine friends, our
Yes,
listeners.
indeed.
Also, one other little bit of pluggy-plugginess. We still have our promo code active with Baron of Dice, Icy Dice, for 5% off your order. And it is awesome dice there. If you've never gotten them, I do recommend. He recently added Star Wars Shatterpoint dice. I think he added a couple of new designs for Blood Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. No cheese dice yet, but we're hoping. And then there's a couple of new 40K dice. Sorry. Far Future Grim Dark. Similar to, but legally distinct from dice for your armies.
Wars Hamner in the Futures dices.
Oh man. So, you heard it here first, everyone. Pets on planes, get their shots and call ahead.
Yeah, that stuff.
Yeah, once again, guys, thank you all for listening. Have a great night. See you on the next one.
Goodbye.
Dice like guys must be nice to play some games with your friends. Necromunda makes you wonder how friendships end. So flip that table If you're able and consult your charts and graphs. So let's have some fun and get it done. Or you can kiss my ass.
Thank you once again for listening. You can always contact us at DiceLikeIcePodcast@gmail.com or find us on our Facebook or Instagram, also under DiceLikeIcePodcast. We would also like to give a big shout out to William James for our outro music and Scarlet Saturn for letting us use their music at the intro to our show.
You still here? It's over. Go home. Go.